The opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Good evening. Howdy, howdy, everybody. This is Spooky Things with Debbie and Sarah, and this is Sarah. Welcome to the show tonight, and I've got my amazing sidekick here with me. Well, she's not in the house with me, but she's on the podcast with me, and that's my right hand that I always go to when we've got things that we need to do. And she's my bestest buddy and my sister from another mister. And this is Debbie. Say hello, Deb.
Hey, everybody. How are you guys doing? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good over here. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
We've been doing pretty good. Except for a little bit of setback today. We had to deal with the exterminators for the house, and that's always a lot of fun, you know? So.
Yeah, that's a buggy thing, yeah.
Right. I would have rather chewed grass out in the yard versus having to do all the things that we had to do to get ready for them today. But, hey, it needed to be done, and it's over with, and we just got to wait and now put everything back tomorrow. Joy.
But you know what's really weird about it's freaky about the exterminator? They come in and they spray your house, right? And it looks, you know, everything's pretty, you know, easy going and laid back. And then all of a sudden, all these bugs start coming out that you never knew you had before. I've been living with all these bugs for all this time. And then you wake up in the morning and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what you've been living with.
I haven't seen any since he sprayed. So maybe he just ran the little assholes off.
Something to look forward to tomorrow. You get to wake up and look at all the roaches. Yeah.
Right. Well, he said that we are just blanketed with oak trees over the house here and around the house and on the property. Mm-hmm. And he said because it's been so cold, they've started coming in to get warm. So, yeah, they can go back outside or hopefully they're dead because he sprayed and put some stuff out that I asked him, you know, to make sure that it wasn't harmful to the pups, but, and to us. And he said it was all, you know, okay for humans and animals. So we'll see.
The guy that came over to spray my house said, oh no, this is, what did he say?
I don't know. What did he say?
Ew. If it kills a bug, I don't think I'd be drinking that. I don't care what they say that it's okay to drink it. You still don't drink it.
Drink what? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the stuff that they spray on your wall.
Well, you're not going to go over there and drink it or lick the wall, are you? I'm going to take you to the old folks' home if you are.
No,
put you in a crazy house.
No, it's not like licking a toad or anything. I think he was trying to went out on a limb there, girl.
You had a senior moment.
Yeah, it's a whole new book that we're looking at here. But anyway, he was trying to show me how safe it was. And I'm thinking, I don't care how safe that if you're spraying it on my floor and on my walls to kill bugs with it, why would you even try to do that? Why would you want to do that?
Oh Lord, here we go. Your mind is out in outer space tonight. So,
It's the
welcome to
result
the crazy show tonight. It's going to be hilarious.
Lord. Oh Lord.
Well, we've got a good show planned tonight. We have some amazing individuals with us, and that is our producer and his wife, Stan and Teresa Fikes, and they are with Web Paranormal and Web Radio, and they're going to come on and talk with us about their experiences and about other things that they've got their little fingers in. And it's an amazing event, and that's the Paracomic Con in Ozark, Alabama. So we're going to just have an amazing show tonight with lots of information from Stan and Teresa.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. They're here with us now. Welcome, Stan and Teresa, to Spooky Things with Debbie and Sarah. And we are just excited and so pleased to have you guys with us on the radio tonight.
Absolutely.
Are they there? Oh, the boss, so we have to. Sh Good deal, good deal. Well, we'll wait and wait a minute here, and Stan must be doing some things, and when he's ready, we'll get it on the road. But speaking of the Paracomic Con in Ozark, Alabama. If you don't have any plans for the weekend of August the 19th and the 20th this year, I would suggest you pack a little overnight bag and come on out and get you a place to stay and just spend the entire weekend there because it's going to be an amazing event. And there are a lot of guests that are going to be there, celebrities, artists of all kinds, and paranormal groups of all kinds. And it's just going to be an amazing. What is it, Teresa? A 3-day or a 2-day event? 2-day event. Okay, so probably Friday is what, setup day? Okay, all righty. Do you have there in front of you, or do you know some of the names of the celebrities that will be there? Okay.
Going on over
I'm so glad. Oh no. Of course. Wow. Oh, cool. Oh, no. Exactly, yes. We can't hear you, Teresa. Can you hear her, Deb?
No, not really.
No, she faded out and I can't hear anything now.
Come back to us.
Yeah, there you are. Stan, stop pushing buttons. Right? Well, it wouldn't be a Spooky Things with Debbie and Sarah podcast show if we didn't have technical difficulties.
Absolutely.
Oh, but I'm really excited. We plan on being there, Shadow Chasers and Hallowed Grounds and Spooky Things, of course, all three. We're involved in it, and we are looking forward to being there that weekend and just having a really good time and meeting everybody and just enjoying it. Yes, we're in the beginning stages of figuring out. We've got an idea of what we're going to do. Now it's taking the ideas and making our hands be able to make it, you know, but it's a cool little, it's something cool, something you don't see every day. So we're hoping it'll go over really good.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
She does have stuff like that, her artwork that she brings. And last year, she actually agreed to do some zombie classes with
Oh, wow.
local actors and actresses from a talent agent here in the area. And some of our junior members were also involved in that. And the zombie lessons on how to act and sell the zombie terrifying. And then another lady that we know, Melissa, she has a business called Off the Walls Oddballs. And she did the makeup for the zombies with Sonia, you know, overlooking it.
Oh.
She did an awesome job. Sonia was very impressed.
That's cool, because I was just fixing to say it'd be even better with her her zombie classes if we had somebody that was there doing the makeup for the zombies. You know, that would be cool. So you already got that covered. That's awesome.
Yeah, she does a lot of the theatrical makeup for some of the actors and actresses here. We have a place called Seaback. We make up a lot of plays going on here in Dothan.
Cool.
She works with them too. And she has a lot of oddity stuff on there. It's really amazing. And she's coming back this year too. So she's going to be here.
That's great.
And then I'm not sure if Amy Farley and them are coming or not. They are. Okay, they are. And I think they sell a lot of metaphysical stuff and some stuff and smell good stuff and candles and all that. So that's going to be awesome. Of course, you know, Bad Paranormal Group's going to be there. We're going to be selling some stuff, too.
Cool.
I hope y'all like spiders.
long as they're not alive and not, you know, moving, we're good.
Little jumping spiders. They are so cute.
Oh, they are. Now, I'll play with a little jumping spider, but no tarantulas, no wolf spiders, no black widows, none of them things. They scare me to death.
I used to have a tarantula. I used to have, hey, they're pretty cool. I used to have a little leash with him, and he'd crawl up and down my arm and stuff.
Yeah, oh, dear God.
Fingers.
Yeah, Debbie.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. I have known you. See, guys, what you don't know about my sister Debbie here, she used to work with animals. She has been amazing in her lifetime and her career. She has worked with dolphins. She's worked with the killer whales, any kind of animal that you can think of. Deb used to be able to work with them and stuff, but I have never in my life, and I've known you how long now? And of course, we are family. We are blood family, but
yeah, we're related.
Yeah, 40 years maybe? And you have never told me that you had a pet tarantula.
Well, you don't like them. You don't like them.
Had a freaking leash for a tarantula. What the hell?
You know, and now that I look back on, I think I went into mourning after it died because I kept his shell for a long time, still
Oh,
sitting
dear
in the
God.
still sitting in the terrarium, and I'd look over and go, oh.
Oh, my God.
I've gotten over it.
She's lost it, Teresa.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, nope. Nope.
Yep.
I don't do snakes. Now, I had an iguana one time, and when he tail whipped me and got out of the aquarium, and it took me about 4 hours to catch him. And then when he detached his tail, it freaked me out and I got rid of him.
You know, you can't, you know, sometimes they have bad. Yes.
Oh, okay. Push the right button, Stan.
I'm picturing him like a DJ. He just he was twisting and, you know.
Yes, there you are. Yay.
I need you to go get the show link and see if you're picking it up. Y'all, this is an ordeal. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Well, when I got my new stuff, my computer and all that stuff, I didn't take into account that I needed to be on air with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to get to the show link. Well, I'm not sure.
Go to Facebook.
But here you are.
Yes. Oh, well, yay. We're so
okay. We're at on Facebook. To you, to where? To our page.
Open my account. Just go to Stan Pikes. Y'all, bear with me. I apologize.
That's okay. It wouldn't be a show without our technical difficulties.
Go to the.
We'll get it right one night.
There you go, right there. Yeah, we're going to get it right. I'll go to
I got it.
Okay. I'm testing to see if we're actually live. Can you hear me?
I can hear
yes.
You.
Okay. So now turn it down.
You know what? Joshua just asked me for pizza money.
Oh my God. All right, ladies. We're up and going then.
We're up and going.
So y'all continue on and we'll answer your questions at whatever you want.
Well, we were talking about Paracomicon and all of the people that would be there and some of the celebrities.
Okay, I'm going to be there. I'm joking.
Well, of course, you better be.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's going to be really good. Do you guys hear an echo?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. We're the only one that hears it, so we're good.
Maybe it's this house. I don't know.
Let me try that. Okay, you guys can still hear us.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Well, as far as all these guests and things like that, these famous people, we are working on the list right now. Of course, Everybody's favorite demonologist is going to be there. And Mr. Jeremy.
Yeah.
Leitriana, and I think Teresa covered a bit of this. I don't know if the audience could hear it at that point, but Leitriana Terry Brown, yeah, she's going to be there. Blaine Rohan, Jonathan Odom from Alabama Paranormal and Bigfoot. If you like Bigfoot, you're going to want to listen to Jonathan Odom. He's got some stories that'll make your hair stand up. No puns intended. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to say a few of the others just simply because we haven't confirmed them.
Right. Okay.
But we are looking for looking forward to having some guests like that does the anime voiceovers and some Disney character voiceovers and things like that. People that, you know, they can come up, get their autographs and that type of thing. We are looking at a Power Ranger and
Dragon Ball Z.
Guy from Dragon Ball Z. Things like that. So
kids will love that.
Yeah, they will.
Of course we're gonna invite the Ghostbusters.
Oh, of course.
Yes, yeah. We had them last year. It was fun. It was really fun having them there.
Bobbert.
Yeah, Bobbert was one of them. He's a clown. He actually does clown stuff on the side, and he's a Ghostbuster as well.
Oh, that's funny.
But, of course, we're going to have some great paranormal teams there, yes. Like Shadow Chasers.
Right.
And Web Paranormal.
And Web Paranormal.
Right. We're going to have RIP Investigations, yes. Is going to be there.
Cool.
We're going to have cars. Okay. We're going to have Road Warrior cars.
Yes. We're actually going to be a vendor at the Night Shift New Gears event for 2023. It's going to be held out at the Island Venue out on 3rd Avenue Extension in Dothan. And I think it's going to be January the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm looking at Saturday, January 21st at 10 a.m. We're going to have a vendor booth out there, and we're going to get to see some of these awesome cars.
Cool deal. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to get the Dracula car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dracula. That's a Rob Zombie song too. The car got anything to do with the song?
That's one of my favorite songs.
Right?
I don't feel so bad.
I'm friends with a guy that drives a Dodge Charger, and I'm trying to get him to bring it out to the con.
Yeah, it's orange.
Oh, boy. I'll love it.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, it's got the old one on the side. And
think about that.
It was part of nighttime TV in the 70s and 80s.
What the, what was the name of that show with the two boys, right?
Right. The General Lee.
Upper butt. Yeah. What was the name of that show?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The General Lee.
Yeah, me and John's been friends for a little while, and I'm trying to get him free so he can come to the con. Not guaranteeing anything, but I'm working on it.
Right.
That was a cool car.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's kind of some of the stuff we're starting with. We're starting to move into the second phase of this con. And
we're going to be trying to raise money for the Ronald McDonald House so that the kids can get some of the things that they need. You know, so their families don't have to worry about, you know, providing the stuff for them. It's going to be there.
That's
And
wonderful.
We're going to be sending some of this money for the Secret Santa that goes to the Ronald McDonald House and to the Children's Hospital. So the con is just a big fundraiser. And it's just something that we feel real strongly about. We have three charities that we raise money for. And this year we're adding something to do with pets. I'm not exactly sure which one yet. But the Boys and Girls Club and the Ronald McDonald House.
That's cool. It's always good to raise money for charity. Always.
Those are so amazing. On, you know,
if there's anything that Shadow Chasers or Hallowed Grounds can do, just give us a shout or text us and let us know. We'll be glad to help out.
Absolutely.
Just remember, you said that.
Well, when I say something, I try not to go back on my word. So it has to be something pretty serious for me to go back on it. So I'm there. Me and Deb's there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm right down the street from you guys.
Okay. We're going to also invite the Blood Mobile to be there too.
Okay. Well, that's one thing I won't do. I have a serious needle phobia when it comes to stuff like that. I'll get a tattoo all day long. Won't hurt me. But when you go to stick a needle in my vein, I'll pass out like a little baby.
Well, I know that me and Stan and Shawana has been affected by cancer. Some shape or form. Shawana, one of our other founders, she has lost two sisters and a brother and in the last 2 years.
Goodness.
I think.
Bless her heart.
It was like 8 months apart when they died from cancer, same kind of cancer. I think she said her mom is in remission as well, same kind. And, of course, Stan's mother died from breast cancer, and my dad died from pancreatic cancer, and my mom is now going through hospice for lung cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's what we've seen, a need that this area needs more people to donate blood because they all had to have it at one point.
Right.
So we're hoping to help with that. Now, if we just get Stan to donate blood, we'll be doing really good. He has B positive.
And
it's kind of a rare blood. It's not as rare as O. It's a BO or OB or whatever you call it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not thinking straight tonight. It's B positive and B negative.
It's a now, my husband has a rare type of blood where they can take it and it mixes with any kind or anyway, I don't know what it is, but he's got a rare type of blood that they would call him anytime that there was a need for that type of blood. They would call him and ask him to come in and donate. So he's got a rare type of blood too.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That if he does that, because you know, we're in so much of a need for that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, he'll donate all day long. It don't bother him. But I may be busy. I'm serious. I may be busy unless they knock me out first and then, you know, take the blood from me. But oh God, I can't.
No, they won't let me donate at all because I was born and raised in Europe, in Germany. So they won't. No, I can't do it.
You can't donate because you were born over there?
Halfway raised, yeah. I was over there for years in Germany.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, one of the explanations that I got was because of the mad cow disease.
I hate to laugh about that, but... That explains a lot with you.
it certainly does. I do have that to fall back on. So. Nice.
Yeah. Well, Stan and Teresa, we want to hear about some of your investigations and the things that you guys have gotten into and the ones that have absolutely scared you the most, or if you ever have been scared by any of your investigations. So starting off, first question, if you can think back through all of your investigations and all the years that you've been paranormal investigators, is there one investigation that stands out the most that absolutely scared you witless?
Therese.
He's throwing me under the bus now.
He sure did, and he just rode right over the top of you.
Probably that there's one that scared me witless or whatever, but it was a little weird. And not because I thought it was a ghost, but because I thought it was an actual person.
Oh, okay.
You know, Shawana likes to sneak up on us sometimes, and we were at Cahaba, and Shawana says, I'm going to be late, and I got something come up, I'm going to be late. So we were standing there, and it has these huge, big old heavy doors on the church.
Okay, I was going to say, where you were.
Yeah, on the church, at Cahaba. And all of a sudden, the door starts to open slowly, and I'm thinking to start with, oh, it's just Shawana sneaking in here on us, trying to be quiet. Well, the doors open. There was nobody there. It says, like, okay, so we're going to go check this out, and we're going to make sure that it's level. There's nothing wrong with the mechanics of it. There's no wind. There's nobody out there. And so he shuts the door, and he makes sure that it's shut. And then he comes back, and he's standing, like, in the middle of the room. And I'm standing way over on his left side, and another member standing way over on his right side. And we're videoing. We're just taking pictures and stuff. And he calls it and says, if you're there and you want to come to church, you want to come in, come on in. Open the doors again.
Oh, my God.
Those doors opened. And yeah, I was right behind Stan in a split second.
Goodness. I don't know what I would have done.
And every time he would shut the door and ask it to open the door and come in, it would.
Oh my God. And then on command. That's crazy.
And then that night at the pulpit, we got the stick figure. You know what I'm talking about? The SLS camera was up there, and one of our other members was there, and he was acting like he was at the church pulpit, you know, and preaching. Yeah. And then this person was like right beside him. And that was weird.
Mm-mm-mm.
This was after Stan said, open the door and come in. There he was.
Wow. Did the church, you were in a church, right? And does the church have a history of someone passing away there, or what was the background on it?
No, actually, the church was in a different location. They moved it from Cahaba to Selma, and from Selma back to Cahaba, but in a different location. But that whole Cahaba is a whole town, and they've had this very same type of stuff at all the buildings in Cahaba.
And
so there's been people seen standing on the porch of the church.
Oh boy.
And one particular, it was a black male about 5'1", has been seen repeatedly on the doorsteps and on the porch of the church. So, and the what do you call that? The entrance building there. What is
foyer?
That? Well, it's the
foyer.
Well, no, it's a building right across from the church that
the information center.
The information center.
Oh, okay.
It is like right.
It's the old house.
Yeah, it's an old house. It's like right across the road. And people have been standing on the porch of that and seeing people running around on the porch of the church.
And we can hear people walking, like outside on the a little, it's like a little ramp, a little veranda type thing. And it's good. And it's just like they have hard bottom shoes and they're walking. Well, Sanji went out and she walked all the way around this place. She said, there's nothing. There's no animals. There's nothing here. But I heard them walking outside on the porch. So you can hear it. Oh, and down the little trail, that's where they had the gallows for the people.
Oh, gosh. They hung people on the property?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, one stop shopping. You hang them and bury them right there and you don't have to go anywhere.
Oh my God, Deb. Is this still a full moon, you guys? What is up?
That was good, Deb. That was good. Yeah.
We are usually part of the tour that they do in October. They do it two weekends in October, and they raise money for various buildings there. And last year, we were there to help raise the money to put the other half of the roof on the slave quarters. So we normally set up in the slave quarters, and when they do the tour, and we bring people in and do like a little mini investigation and let them use our equipment and explain what our equipment is and how it's used. And we tell them a little bit about the history that we know of. Of course, there's a historian and there's Miss Linda Derry, who is the Alabama archaeology head of that. And she tells what she has found being an archaeologist in that area. So you have historians, archaeologists, and paranormal investigators there.
Wow.
You're going to have to make a point to come up and be there with y'all within the 2 weeks that you guys do that, because I'd love to be there and go through it.
That'd be cool.
We put this to the test, okay? In the slave cemetery, there's like a little slab or a little drainage ditch, and then you cross over that into the slave cemetery. Now, it is in very bad shape. A lot of trees were felled during Hurricane Michael, and they're still trying to clean this up. They're trying to find some of the lost graves that was in there because they didn't mark them.
Oh,
but
boy.
You are white, and you walk across that little slab, the wind will blow like crazy. And when you walk back across it, the wind stops.
It will freak you.
I got to experience that, Debbie. We got to go.
Oh, I got to walk on that.
I got to do that. That sounds interesting.
It does.
And they have the I may be saying it wrong, Purine, where the Purine Mansion was. Now, this was a beautiful antebellum mansion.
Uh-huh.
And what happened is it had air conditioning in the early 1800s.
What?
Yes, because what they did is they had a natural spring right there in the front yard, and they popped that cold spring air through the walls and the floors and all of this house to keep it cool.
And that's interesting.
The spring is still there. It boils up. It's so pure and clean looking. You know, it's just clear all the way to the bottom. And I was showing one of the ladies on our team, two of the ladies, Miss Vera's nurse, and because she's freaking out because I reached my hand down in that water and cut me some water up and drank it. And Daphne says, I have Imodium in my car if you need it.
That's crazy, because I was sitting here as you were talking, listening to you, and I was thinking about, I wonder what would happen if you drank some of that water.
It tastes pure. There's no chemicals in it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have layer stuff. It's clean.
Ain't nothing better than spring water.
Yeah. And people are bottling it all the time.
Yeah.
It's ice cold.
It is. It's ice cold all the time. And I used to, one of the houses that we had that was haunted, by the way, we had a well, and that's where our water came from. And it was the coolest, best tasting water I've ever tasted. I miss that well.
Cahaba does a lot of different things all throughout the year. I think we have like a Civil War type walking tour where they explain about what's going on.
A reenactment?
Not a reenactment, no.
No.
There's a lot of Civil War people that was out there. There's one guy that was buried alive because he was wearing an Alabama ring and he was in. And when his brother went to get help, the guy finished. He thought he died, but he buried him alive and took his ring. And that's how he realized that his brother had been buried alive because he's seen the ring in the other guy's finger.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
There's definitely a lot of history there. Yeah. And that's one of the things we love about it.
Yeah.
This past year when we was there, we had 800 people come through.
Oh, wow. Y'all were busy.
Yeah, that and now thank goodness that was in 2 weekends.
That was just on the Saturday. So on Fridays, we're just there doing stuff ourselves, getting ready for the big tour on Saturday.
Normally, they only sell 500 tickets, but they sold 800 this time right off the bat. I mean, it took them about 3 weeks. And
she had to just tell them she couldn't sell anymore. We were at max capacity. And
that's awesome. That speaks magnitudes for you guys, you know, because you did such a great job till the word got out there and you surpassed what you did the last time. So that's awesome. Kudos to you guys. And I know you guys, I've known you guys for a while now, and anything that you do, you always give it 200%. And it turns out to be something amazing that the public and your fans love. So keep up the good work.
I think that nature really helped us with it because we were sitting there waiting for some of they come on a wagon. It's pulled by a truck, but it's a wagon. And they get off. It's like 35 to 40 people at one time. And as they were coming up, it was just getting dark. And we were still kind of sitting out on the porch. And all the bats left the attic at once.
Oh, my God.
That's so cool, though. I like that.
Yep. And then they also have a barn owl that's there. It's like a upstairs section. And he would come through the front window and go out that window in the stairwell.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Mother Nature helped you out a lot.
They used to, the house that was there before, in front of the slave quarters was owned by the Kirkpatricks. And they had one of their descendants there, and they would tell about how, what was it called? Something creatures that was in the attic. Because
attic monsters.
Yeah. They stored stuff up there, and they didn't want the kids going up there messing with it, you know, messing it up. So they just made up the story about these creatures, these attic creatures and monsters being up there so the kids wouldn't go up there.
Uh-oh.
So this owl and these bats just played right into Shawana telling them the story about that.
Wow.
Yeah, we had such good time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we used the historical facts and things like that to kind of put, you know, these thoughts in these people's head, like, does this really exist? And of course, we literally make contact with the spirits there.
That's amazing.
We allowed the people who's paid for this to actually have hands-on experience with doing it. It's not, we're not just talking to them. We're saying, here you go. here's the equipment. This is how you use it. Now you're the investigator. Go use it.
We probably done a bad thing though, because we made it fun.
Yeah.
And then we turn around and tell them paranormal investigating is not fun. It's boring.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when they bring the little kids in there, you know, we're like backing off a little bit. But right. You give them a K2 or a spirit box and tell them start asking questions, they come up with some of the best questions.
Oh, yeah. I know that's right.
Okay, we literally did that to a young girl. And her very first question was, do you know Zach Bagans?
Did you get a response?
The REM pod went off.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, I thought that was just, I could tell exactly what show she was watching.
Yeah, kids don't, no matter what age, they don't hold nothing back. No. They're great.
I mean, we've had people ask, do you know Elvis?
And we keep telling 1800s, he wasn't born yet.
Right.
No, so, but that's a good event that that we look forward to every year.
And when is that again, Stan? When is that?
It's the second and third weekend in October.
Okay. Everybody put that on your calendar that's listening, the second and third weekend in October every year. Make plans to go out and get your tickets and be there for that, because it sounds amazing. I know me and Deb's going to get us some tickets and go.
Sure, that sounds great.
Yeah. Now, Okahaba has their own Facebook page, and they'll start announcing it on there. And okay. It does not take long for it to sell out. We've had people coming over from Scotland to do these tours.
What? That's awesome. Holy crap. Yeah. I know. That's amazing.
So, yeah, it's a good event. I mean, it filled up all the motels in Selma.
Oh, I imagine.
There was people pulling their campers in and things like that. And I mean, this is a 90-minute ordeal. And we're the last leg of the trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we literally, not trying to blow smoke over our way or anything like that, but we got pretty good approval this past time. People have already wanted to buy tickets so they could reserve their spots for next year.
Well, hey, toot that horn, baby. Y'all are doing a good job. Right. I wouldn't mind it if I was you. I'd toot my own horn too, baby. So toot it.
Now, back to your question from earlier about a location that I'll just say make your hair raise up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to exclude my background from, okay, I'm not even going to go there.
Right.
Okay, but since we've been investigating in Alabama, I'll say that the place that kind of got under my skin, so to speak, you guys have been there. It's the Old Pauley Jail.
That's what I was fixing to say, Old Pauley. Yep.
Well, I'll give you a little brief rundown of what happened. It was our very first. It was in November. 2016. It was our very first time there. Teresa and I were the only ones on site. We were waiting for the rest of the team. I was upstairs setting up a static camera, and it felt as if, have you ever just been standing in a location and you turn around and look, and all these crowds are just kind of crowding up on you and things like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was the way I felt when I was on the inside. And it just felt like a whole bunch of people was just crowding up around me. And there was so many odd smells and things like that. And I started hearing little odd men noises.
Yeah.
And after about 10, 15 minutes, you know, I was wiring up this camera. I had a microphone I was adding to it. And then all of a sudden, my head got yanked back because something yanked my hair.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, did I catch my hair? But I wasn't even near a cell or any wall or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, damn it, man. Okay.
Right.
I got to stop. And I never could collect myself. So I had to go outside. I had to step out the door. As soon as I stepped out the front door, I was like, okay, this feels better.
Yeah.
Okay. So I told Teresa what happened. And I waited about 30 minutes before I went back in there. I start up the stairwell. I got to the second floor. Well, J.W. Mann's cell is the first cell on the left. And he was the one that died of smoke inhalation in the jail.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I walked past his cell, and the very next cell to the left opened in front of me. And, you guys have been in there. You know how heavy those doors are. And the door just swung really quickly open right in front of me. And I'm like, okay, guys. All right. You have my attention. All right. Mm-hmm. And so I go back over to the camera and I'm trying to put everything to the side, you know, and I could literally hear footsteps upstairs. There was people in the room with me. I could feel them. I could almost feel the heat from them.
Yep.
And then they really got to me when they started whispering in my ear.
Right.
And I'm like, pardon the expression, I'm like, shit, I got to get out.
I know.
So outside I go, and, you know, I waited for the rest of the team to get there, and one of my tech guys, he's no longer with us. He moved away. Actually, he's in Robertsdale. So he come up and he says, what's going on? I explain what happened. He says, well, I'll go up there and finish it. I was like, okay. All I had to do was just hand the equipment to him. He knew it backwards and forwards and stuff. So he goes up there. 20 minutes later, I turn around. He's standing next to me.
Mm.
And I'm like, did you get it set? He says, I ain't going back up there.
That's crazy.
I tell you something else about Poly Jail that now this did, I would say it made me mad. This made me mad. Me and my granddaughter Vivian, she was about 14 then. Me and her went up before everyone else, and we were going to open it up and let it air out and kind of set stuff up. Sorry, y'all, that was my phone.
That's okay.
Anyway, so she had opened up that little storage room, and the door was open. It was completely wide open, and she was standing in the archway of the door, the doorway. So I was going to back the truck up, and I was making sure she was out of the way so I wouldn't hear her. And when I pulled up, there was like no color in her face. And there was this look of fear, and she couldn't speak. And I said, what's wrong? And she held out her hands, and her wrists were cut.
Oh, wow. Goodness.
And I asked her, I said, what happened? And she said, the window just blew out. It blew.
Oh, wow.
Not in. And I went and I looked to see if the door had slung back and hit it, but that door doesn't reach that window. So it couldn't have done it. And there was nothing else in there. We hadn't put anything in there. I just made her stand in the doorway, and the window was beside her. So still don't know how the glass got to her wrist.
Goodness.
It was actually to the side, and it missed that vein.
Mm.
And I asked her, I said, are you going back to Pauley Jail with me? And she said, oh, yeah. She's going back. And she has. But, you know, that was the only time that I had ever known of it to really injure somebody.
That young lady would go stand at the gates of hell next to me. And, you know,
and fight.
Yeah, exactly. She would come when we were calling. She'd come to me and say, "Papa, I want to go down in the women's center down there and do an EVP session and things like that." And she would ask me to go with her, and we would go in there, and she would talk to these people just like anything. And she's tough.
Yeah. And now her younger brother, Alex, he was old enough at that time to go with us. But she would go back and talk to him about it. And bless his heart, he broke his leg. And that was one of the times we were going to be going. But we got him to go up there one day. And all he did was play with the trap door, opening and closing. I said, y'all don't go upstairs. Alex is up playing. Open and close that trap door.
He looked at me. He says, "Papa, imagine somebody with a rope around their neck falling through this hole," and then he would open the trap door. Bam!
Because you know it's that scary sound, and he likes to scare people.
I told him he was morbid.
I didn't go around that trap door when we were there. My team was there. It just something about it. It just made the hair on my arms and my neck just rise up, just walking past it, you know. And we didn't touch that door. I told none of them, all of them. I said, "Don't you dare touch that door and make it open." So we let it be. We left it alone.
There has been legal hangings there. But if you go around to the right, Miss Vera caught on video a ghost swinging, the leg of a ghost swinging where he had been hung.
It's actually a series of three photographs, three still shots.
Wow. Well, did you guys ever, what I experienced and what really unnerved me was upstairs where the picnic tables are, where they would go and eat, you know?
Yeah.
We sat down in the dark with the REM pod and our digital recorders to get EVPs and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we were sitting there and we were talking to the spirits and we were getting responses. And then all of a sudden, from the left side of the upstairs where we were at, there was like a rush of cold. Sorry, guys, that's my other computer. But there was a rush of cold wind that came around that and came around the back of me. And I knew it wasn't good. And this thing presented itself and told us over EVP that its name, whenever I asked what its name was, it said Monster. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever experience anything with him?
Yeah, we've got that before.
Have you?
Yeah.
That dude's a bad guy. He is a bad guy. I got a mental picture because I asked him to show himself to me. And oh, dear God, he was a rough looking individual. One that I would not want to meet in a dark alley. Probably wouldn't even want to meet him in daylight.
He was on the third floor a lot.
I couldn't hear you.
Well, he hangs out on the third floor a lot.
Yeah, that's where it was. Yep.
We were there last year with Lee Triana, Terry Brown, Matt Brown. There was several people. Blaine Rohan, he was there. And we were doing the Estes. And Lee was on the second floor. And I had the Estes method going on two different floors at the same time. Okay. And I had a watcher in front of each one of them. Well, we were ha- Matt was on the third floor, and we were having some issues. It was just Blaine called me up there. He says, "I got something going on." I'm okay. So I go up there, and I'm standing, and Blaine is actually sitting on the floor in front of Matt, Lou's husband. And we had a radio on the bottom floor, and Teresa was on the outside of the jail asking questions on the, with the radio. Okay. So as soon as I step up there to Blaine, and I'm like, "Blaine, what's the problem?" I was shoved, and I almost fell completely on top of Blaine. And I was shoved from behind. And at that point, Lee, she was just calling out, "This, it's moving. It's coming close to y'all. It's moving." And it said something like, it's a monster, or it's a creature or something.
Monster. Yep.
And as soon as Lee detected it, Matt, like he was trying to reach out and get, you know, they have, they're blindfolded and they have headsets on, and all they're hearing is a spirit box. And Matt is hollering, "Monster, monster, monster, monster." And he's like reaching out, trying to get a hold of somebody. So, we had tapped into something, and I feel like it has something to do with the same entity that you guys came in contact with.
Right.
And, but we're going to go back again, you know, sometime later on in the year. And we're going to set this Estes up in all three floors. And we're I've got a bunch of other experiments I want to try.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see if I can't isolate the monster.
You know that it was like a little park thing. It was like a little tribute park thing behind Holly Jail there. You know?
Yeah.
And there was an old house like over to the right side behind it. But they have demolished all that, and they have brought in bulldozers and stuff like that. And they've come up within a foot of the cage in the back.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the cage.
Yeah, they come up to a foot of that. And they have really disturbed that land. And they're putting, what they're doing is putting a parking lot in there for the hospital, which is across the road over there.
Oh, and wow.
So people can park across the road from the hospital, which I understand the need for that, but they are disturbing things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had not realized that this was going to be so close. And once that happened, things ramped up at Poly Jail, and it's not the good
yeah,
stuff.
It's almost out of control.
It's very bad.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I know Jeremy Leonard and I believe the Foxes are going to be at Poly Jail here pretty soon, aren't they?
March.
Yes.
March. That's what I was thinking. Lord, with them upsetting the land like they are, there's no telling what Jeremy and the Foxes are going to walk into.
Well, that's true. We actually...
We're supposed to be there. It just depends on who the brother is. Yeah. Yep. I'm going to go up there and tell some of the stories and stuff from my research and stuff.
Yeah.
And
it'd be awesome.
Jeremy wants us, and Destiny, and then Michael wants us to kind of help them out with the investigation. Because y'all,
the Fox family's been there before with us, but I think this will be the first time that Jeremy's really been. So it's going to be an all new experience for him too.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely interesting for Jeremy.
And I talked to him through text. when he put out the post that they were going to be there at the old poly jail, I told him that, it was, there are very dark entities there, and to especially be weary and look out for the one that calls himself the monster. Cause that guy's not good. He got upset with me because I kept talking to him and telling him to back off because he was like trying to rush me and come up on me. And before I made him get away, he actually touched me on my right shoulder. And let me tell y'all, I don't know what happened, but I got visions in my head of things that he used to do. And he's not a good guy. Not a good guy at all.
Well, I'm gonna say,
I had to get out of there once he did that. I told him to get back and leave me alone in the name of Jesus. And I had to go down those stairs and go outside and regroup myself because I felt the anger and the hatred and the evilness and everything that is about that guy. I felt all of that. And it turned me for a loop.
Well, I'm going to see if I can't talk Jeremy into doing the Estes on the second floor.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Estes. Mm.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
Well, like he said to Deb when he, you know, schooled Deb and helped her to become a demonologist, he better know his maker, better be prepared and have that armor of God on when he meets that dude, because that's a sick individual the monster is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the same one that likes little children.
Yeah, I was not going to say anything about that, but yes, ma'am, I caught wind of that when he touched me too. Yeah he did unspeakable things to children.
Yeah, special kind of evil there.
Yeah, not a good guy at all.
You know, I think there's I think there's a special section of hell for those type of people.
Well, I would hope and pray so, Stan, because it's, you know, murder is murder, and people kill people every single day. But when it involves children or a child, it's just, I don't know, it breaks my heart. It goes to the core of my soul and brings up such sadness that I couldn't even sit here and explain to you how that makes me feel.
I definitely can understand that.
You know, and I think that's why it really upsets me with the, you know, you guys know that we do the Hotel de Funiac.
Yes.
And, I'm real protective of those little girls there. And it just really, it upsets me even when people go in there and they start being silly, you know, around those little girls, and they start, you know, getting spirits all wild and worked up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, when you guys leave, they're still here.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're the ones that are going to have to pay the price for your stupidity, you know?
Yeah. We want to take you guys. I don't want it to be anybody but me and Debbie from our team and your team, whoever you choose to go, of course, you and Teresa, and then maybe one or two other of your team that you can bring with you. But I'd like to invite you to come up and see some of the things that we have seen there. We have caught so much there till it's just unreal. We actually caught a spirit rape, if you will, on SLS camera. We have caught, what else, Debbie? With the portal that's there at the stairway that goes up into room 9. It's still there.
The two little girls, of course.
Well, yeah, the two little girls, and we've caught all kinds of stuff there. And I would love for you guys, I've been wanting to get y'all up there, but through my sickness and stuff like that, and Debbie's got some personal issues and stuff of her own, and the two of us combined, we're very short on time right now to do things of that nature, but maybe we can take a weekend where we can get up there with you guys and I just want to sit back. I want to sit back and watch you guys and see if you guys can pull up and get some of the most amazing stuff that we have ever. I don't have no words for it, guys. I really don't. If you could find it on our page, there's some of it on our Facebook page, Shadow Chasers. But and answering the question that I asked you guys, the one investigation that absolutely scared me witless and had this girl crying, and I have to be really scared or really mad. And if I'm mad and I get to the point where I'm crying, you better move out of my way because somebody's fixing to get an ass whooping and it ain't going to be me. But I'm that way with the paranormal part too. And what we saw and encountered in room number 7 about 6 years ago, that scared the hell out of me. Scared me to death, because when we actually saw a demon take form in that room and shoot up the curtains and make the curtains fly out as if the window was open, and the window was not open. We tried it. It was painted shut. It would not open for us. We tried everything in that room to see if there was a wind source or anything like that, and there was nothing. The AC was off, the fan was off, and the window was painted shut. But yet this thing, when we started talking to it, and any time that we mentioned the name of Jesus, this thing would flare up and it would make that curtain move.
Wow.
And then it got mad at us. I beat it down by saying a prayer over it and over again, trying to, you know, make it lose some of its power. And I got it down to the side of the bed, right there by the window. But you could see this thing as it started gaining power again, it would rise up and then go back down to the side of the bed, and then it'd rise up a little bit further. You know, it was gaining strength. And when it gained its full strength, it stood up, sprouted its wings, and went straight up the wall and made the curtains go up when it did. Hmm. When that happened and I saw that, I screamed bloody murder. And man, I started crying like a baby because I knew what I saw. I knew that it was one of the hierarchies, one of the higher demons in hell, or number one, it could have been Lucifer himself. Mm. It was terrible. That's the one that has scared me the most.
Do they rent those rooms out still?
Yes, they do. They rent those rooms out. And for a while there, when they were renting the rooms, you know, it comes up on rotation. And when it would get to room number 7, somehow it would skip from 6 and go straight to 8. So number 7 didn't get rented there for a long time. But then somebody went in there. It's a long, long story, and we'll save this story for another podcast. But somebody went in there and undid everything that we did, because we bound the room because we were told by the owner of the hotel, do not banish anything. We want it there. It's good for business. Okay. Yeah. So what we did is we banned that thing that was still there in room number 7. So it didn't get rented for a long time, but then somebody came in and undid everything that we did to close and contain that thing in room number 7, and they let it out. And when they did, it's been a different hotel, different atmosphere, this group coming in, that group coming in, and they just upset everything that we did in a 6-year period. And now Debbie's been doing it with me about 2 years there at the hotel, and everything that we tried to accomplish there, they just come in and upset. It's like, I can equate it to being like a ghostly bus stop, where one bus stops, lets a bunch of ghosts off. The other bunch that was there and is tired of being there, they get in and they go on somewhere else. That's what it looks like to me, as a bus station for the paranormal. But I want you guys to experience that and see if you come up with any of the same stuff that we have.
That definitely would be interesting. for sure.
Yes, yes. I would be very interested to get your perspectives on the hotel. I do not think that you would be disappointed. Am I right, Deb?
No, I think that you would really enjoy it. It's fascinating, actually. It's interesting because it's like a blend of the transients that come
yep.
through and yep. the permanent ones that are there. It's just like you don't know what you're going to get. The rate that we actually caught, and it's graphic.
Yeah, very graphic.
You really see what's happening there. We had showed it to Grant of Ghost Hunters, and I asked him, I said, have you ever seen anything like this before? And he said no. And as far as he knew, nobody had ever caught what we caught. That's the first one. It's the first time. We've actually quite a few people, you know, everybody's like, no, they'd never heard of it before. So we really think we've got like a gem here. Unfortunately, it's what it is, but you know, we can't change that. But in order, you know, for us just to have caught something as significant as that. And I really think that that one incident really marked boundaries in that building. I think it is a, I think it's a cornerstone to what's going on there. And it's the beginning of it, at least. And but it's so significant. But oh my gosh, you guys would just really have a field day. I would really like to see, with your experiences, to go in there and pair them up to what we have. And I don't really want to say a whole lot, because
right.
I want you guys to go in there just kind of raw and see it for yourself. I don't really want to tell you too much. I want you to experience it.
No, that's fine. Yeah, definitely. Of course, we've never been there, so we always like new experiences.
Yeah.
Well, let me or Debbie know when you guys are free, what weekend that you are, and we'll make it happen.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, there's the old hospital.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Ooh, you guys.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be the second one that scared me to death.
Yeah.
The one there in the Pontiac?
Yeah. The old hospital around the lake area back there where all those beautiful southern antebellum homes are.
Yeah. Are they still charging to go through there?
I'm not sure. That's
that's something came across with another team that came in there.
Yeah,
we never crossed that line with the hospital. We never knew about any of that, and that wasn't up until this other team started coming in, and boom, next thing I know, they're starting to charge money and a hefty amount.
Oddly enough, it was shortly after we had went up to wherever it was. I can't even remember where it was, down south somewhere. And we went through that house that team tours and does things with. And then they mysteriously all of a sudden just pop up down there at the old hospital. So
it was the Ma Barker house. Is that the Ma Barker house that they have?
No, I don't think that was the name of it.
It was the Maestringer house.
Maestringer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Beard had some dealings with that. He had invited us to go to the hospital a couple, 3 years ago or whatever it was.
And
so we haven't had a chance to do that yet. We just got pulled off in a different direction, you know. But I mean, that sounds great. We definitely have been talking about the Hotel de Pontiac.
Well, we'll set it up for us, and invite you guys down and just plan on staying Saturday and Saturday night and Sunday, and we'll make it the weekend.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely have to figure out a time, and we're supposed to be at the St. James in Selma too this year.
Yeah.
Whatever that lady's name, she actually requested us to come in. And
I'd have to look back on my paper.
Kimberly something another. She's the motel.
She's the manager.
Supervisor or something. But so, yeah, we hadn't done a lot of motel or hotel type situations, so this is going to be interesting. Yeah, that definitely.
Well, another one that we did is in Americus, Georgia. That big, I forgot the name of the hotel. Huge, huge old hotel, and some of the presidents and the president's first wives and stuff like that have stayed there. Their
I
name.
I think I seen y'all's live when y'all did.
Yeah, their name eludes me. We were getting things, but we could not get a lot because the weekend that we had chosen, after we had already booked ourselves there, then a wedding party booked their reception there. And oh dear God, I'm telling you, those people were drunk. They were staggering down the halls and hooping and hollering and up until about 4 o'clock in the morning.
At that point,
yeah,
I would have had so much fun with them people. They would have seen all kind of damn ghosts, demons. Oh my God, yeah, that is a prime place for me. I wish to a situation like that.
I just gave up. I was tired from the drive anyway, and then we investigated that night, and I just gave up and went to bed. And I said, well, to hell with it. This is one investigation that we won't get a whole lot of stuff from, but you need to go there. It's in Americus, Georgia. I'll find out the name of it and text it to you guys, too, but okay. I know there's a lot there because we were getting stuff. Just as soon as I got into my room and all the others went to their room, I started getting stuff in my room. And, I think that's one more place that you guys would really enjoy being.
Yeah, that definitely sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's almost 8:30. We've gone past the 8 o'clock. But we did have about 30 minutes of technical difficulties, so that's why I didn't say anything. But do you guys have anything else that you want to add? Or
yeah, Teresa wants to.
Yeah, I have another event that I'd like to let everybody know about, too. We just posted this today. We're going to do a cosplay speed dating game on February the 11th, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. What does that detail? Give us a little bit of detail on it, because I've not heard of anything like that.
Well, this will be the first time I've ever done anything like this. Now, Ashley Bynum and Ashley Toole will be running it. And what they're doing is they have 80 spots for males and 80 spots for the ladies. And they're going to set up different questions, and they have to answer these questions, and they'll be rotating. So I think the ladies will sit still and the guys will move, be like musical chairs. And then
it's like a speed dating, right?
It's a speed dating game.
Gotcha.
And they have to answer certain questions that the two Ashleys will give them, and then they will make a decision who is a good pair and basically set them up. It is for fun, but if it happens to have good results, then that's good too. But it's a way to meet other people and have fun, and they have to be dressed in character.
Oh, cool.
And I know they're going to be serving some refreshments. They are supposed to come up with a menu and let me know what they want, and we'll see how that goes. It's going to be at the Ice House in Ozark, Alabama, and they have
It said the tickets are $20 a piece. But get this, if you pay your $20 and get in, you get to meet all these people.
Right.
And I know different places will be giving away gift certificates there to the winners or the winner ups or however they're going to do it. That's what they're doing. I don't hold me to this, but I think the winner is going to get a gift certificate to a restaurant for them to go to.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
It is. And they have the signups online. You go to Della Haunted Tours Facebook page. You can find the link there to the sign up. And all the information that they're going to have is going to be posted on the Della Haunted Tours Facebook page.
That's cool. Well, guys, make sure that you do look all that stuff up now. We've given you a lot of information in the podcast tonight about things that are coming up in the months ahead this year of 2023. So mark it down on your calendars and make sure not to miss it. Definitely. I know Deb and I will be marking them down as well. And as we can get to them, Debbie and I will be there because I know I want to be there for the October one, especially because you know how I am about October.
Oh, definitely.
Sarah, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Last week on the show, remember as you were ending, I said that I wanted you to think about a question. If you were in a speed dating game and said from Predator, what would be the question you would ask the Predator?
To see if he's your perfect mate.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I remember you telling me that now, but I had forgotten about it. And just off the top of my head, Stan, that dude is so terrifying. I don't think I'd be sitting in that chair long enough to ask him nothing. My ass would be gone so fast, just as fast as my old broken down legs would take me.
How about you, Debbie? What would you ask?
You know, it's pretty intimidating. He really is pretty intimidating. Don't kill me.
No, that's not a question. You got to ask him a question.
I got to ask him a question? You're not going to kill me, are you?
He'll probably be there as he's honey. That's what it is. He'll be honey there.
Yeah, hunting, right?
Yeah.
Seriously do not know what I would say. I really don't, but my first inclination is that fight or flight, and I think my butt would be flighting. I'd be gone.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
That guy is scary. He really is.
I don't like watching Predator, and my husband will, every time that movie's on, doesn't matter which one it is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20. It's like Jason and Michael Myers. It never ends. He watches Predator all the freaking time.
Well, and tell him to watch Prey.
Oh, yeah.
Prey. I think he's seen it. Yep.
Yeah, that was actually the better one of the whole month.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I just thought I would throw that out there.
Well, thank you for reminding me. I appreciate it. But to be honest, I didn't remember because my weeks and my days are just chaotic. I wait for something to happen every day because it's going to happen. In this family, in my life, something's going to happen every single day. So I forgot it. So I apologize for forgetting.
Not at all. That's fine. That's fine. I'll probably be bringing this up again, though. So,
yeah, it's fun. Let's do it. And we want to have you guys back on whenever you have some free time because we didn't get to ask you guys a whole bunch of questions, and because we have them, we just had the technical difficulties with the podcast and stuff, and that kind of stumped us a little bit, but. We want to have you back because you guys have been in this ball game for a long time. You've been doing paranormal stuff, you know, investigations and the tours and all the stuff that you guys do for Web Paranormal and your teammates. And you guys are just a pleasure, and you're a wealth of information to have on the podcast show. So we appreciate it, and we appreciate everything that you guys are doing for Spooky Things and all the rest of us out there. And we can't thank you enough. You're amazing individuals.
I completely agree.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And happy late birthday. I told you off the podcast, but Teresa had a birthday here a few days ago, so we want to wish her a happy late birthday on air.
Happy, happy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Deb, do you have anything else before we end the show?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. We were just thrilled to have you both here. And like Sarah said, we definitely would like to have you back so that we can really dig down deep and find out a lot more of what you guys do, because you guys really do amazing things out there. And yeah. You're just
that sounds good. Yeah, we definitely want to come back for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it's like we know where you are.
That's right. We know where we live.
No. Right? I was fixing to say, you got no choice. You run the podcast, so you got to come back.
And this kind of helped me figure out what else I needed to do, because I thought I looked up like I needed, and oops, I left out a spot. So.
Oh, well, that's okay. You know, it didn't. We're glad we could help out.
I just need to go buy another mixer and
yeah. Okay. Well, we want to thank y'all for being here with us, and thank you guys for listening that was out there listening to us and everything. And I'm gonna bow out and say good night. And Deb, you can do the same, and then Teresa and Stan, you guys can do the same, and then we'll be out of here.
All righty. Thank y'all for having me.
Good night.
Oh, thank you for coming. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Bye. Here, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a good night.
Good night.